Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Bunnies podcast. I'm Maddie Lee, joined on the phone by Joe Masato. I am in Toronto, and Joe is back at home in Oklahoma City after the Thunder's 98-97 win over the Raptors. This was a wild game, but honestly, didn't feel like a one-point game. Maybe because the Thunder was able to just dribble out the last few seconds, but the Thunder had a surprising amount of control late in the game for playing the Raptors, frankly.
Yeah, and they were really able to control the pace, I think, from the beginning of the game. Like, both teams are playing shorthanded, and we'll get to all the guys that were out, but I thought that benefited the Thunder, sort of slowing things down. And then you're right, like, for such a close game, it lacked a certain drama at the very end, and I just thought it ended in such a strange way because when Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he hits a go-ahead bucket, puts the Thunder up by one, Raptors come down, Fred VanVleet ends up missing a three, and then the Thunder rebound, and then the Raptors are not fouling. And
yeah, that was so weird.
Yeah, it's like, what are they doing? And the second after second comes off the clock, and I think the Thunder gets the rebound with 13 seconds left, and they're not fouled until 3.5 seconds left. And then, again, on the inbounds pass to end the game, the Raptors don't foul again. Like, Shai just dribbles it out. So that was just a bizarre ending.
Yeah, I asked Darius Bazley about that post game, and he was like, first, I was surprised that they didn't foul on the first, you know, that first sequence. And then he was like, and then when Shai got it, I thought, okay, cool, he'll make the free throws when he gets fouled. And then he just dribbled out the clock, and I was like, all right, I guess that works too.
Yeah, I was waiting for Shai to get fouled too at the end, because I was like, oh wow, this is perfect, he's gonna get his career high in Toronto, and he tied it, but those free throws would have given him, you know, 33 or 34, so didn't get that. But it was very a fitting ending that he was the one with the basketball to end the game. And just,
and of course,
what was the atmosphere like?
He threw up a scoop shot from deep. He wasn't trying to make it, but that was the last act of the game, was him tossing up a scoop shot. The atmosphere was great. I love Toronto. This is one of my favorite trips. But yeah, I mean, as you can imagine, it was such an intense game, and every shot mattered, and so there are so many oohs and ahs and cheers. And I mean, I made the comment to one of the PR people, like, oh wow, like, for a Sunday, this was an impressive crowd. And I was like, well, I guess you guys aren't competing with NFL like we are in the States.
Yeah.
So they've just been selling out a ton of games this year. But yeah, it was wild. It was raucous. They had a tribute video for Shai and Lou Dort, which was so sweet. And all of the fans were just giving it up for those two and what they've done for Canada. But while Shai was making a bunch of go-ahead shots, they were a little less enthused.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet they wish tonight that the hometown kid was on their team. I mean, Shai was fantastic, and he really needed to be, because, you know, he's the Thunder's leading scorer, but they were without two of their other leading scorers, Dennis Schroeder and Danilo Gallinari, tonight, both with ankle injuries. And like, that the burden fell on Chris Paul and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and SGA, 12 of 21, 3 of 5 from 3, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, only 3 turnovers, and 32 points.
Yeah, and he had like 28 or something by the end of the third. I guess I can look up the exact number, but
I think that's close to it.
He was going off, and I think he got a little tired towards the fourth, but, you know, like we said, still made the most clutch plays in the last couple seconds of the game. And yeah, he was pretty unstoppable. He was getting to the rim. His mid-range was good. And the Raptors just didn't really have an answer for him. And this was in a game when both teams, obviously, as you look at the final score, played good defense.
Mm-hmm. This was his third 32-point game. He had all in the last 10 days, I think. I thought this was his most impressive because he almost had to do it for the Thunder to win. Like I said, they don't have as much offensive help tonight, and we saw him take on a bigger responsibility than we probably have all season. Just like, and after the game, he said that this was his favorite, right?
Yeah, his favorite because after his second 32-point game, which is his career high, he said that he liked the first better because it was more efficient. Yeah. So I asked him, like, okay, how does this one rank? And he thought about it for a while. And then he was like, I think this is the best, essentially. And both, I would agree both in the way he played, because so many of those shots were clutch shots. I mean, we talked about the end, but to end the first half, he made two go-ahead buckets too. They ended up being tied at the half, but it was a time when the Thunder, you know, was maybe slowing down a little bit, and he got out in transition and made some buckets and pulled them right back in it, and it's a really impressive performance from him.
Yeah, and tonight on the, obviously I'm watching from home on the TV broadcast, and like his facial expressions I thought were a little different tonight than normal. Like he almost had like a an attitude of like, you guys can't really stop me tonight. Like when he made the scoop shots, when he made some open threes, he held the follow throughs a little bit longer. And I don't know, I don't want to read too much into it, but you have to imagine he loved playing in front of that crowd and being back close to home where he has family and friends there. So it was just, it was a really cool game for him probably. And I don't know, it just felt a little different.
Yeah, and it started with, this is something I've never seen with the Thunder before, but a lot of times guys don't like talking pregame. You know, they have their routines, and you know, sometimes they're required to if they don't do a shoot around, but like usually they're just not in the locker room and don't talk. But Shea, obviously the Canadian media was very interested in talking to him, and so the Thunder made him available. They said, all right, at 5 o'clock he'll do his presser. And so I was standing in the locker room before that, and he's like, all right, I'm ready, I just need water. And And the Thunder PR people was like, oh, well, it's a few minutes before 5. Like, can you wait? And he said, nope. And he was 100% kidding, but they didn't get that because, like, most players are just like, nope, it's got to be on my time. And Shea was 100% kidding and had to clarify that he was kidding, and then waited around so that he'd talk at 5 like the Thunder promised. And so, I mean, it's just, it was a neat thing to see how gracious he was towards A, his hometown, and B, the media before a big game. And it also happened to coincide with everyone talking about how humble he was. So, you know, a nice act of humility even before he stepped on the court.
Yeah. Well, he very much delivered. Also, his backcourt mate, Chris Paul, almost had a triple-double tonight. 25 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists, 5 turnovers, not great. Like, the Thunder had some kind of costly turnovers there toward the end, but so did the Raptors. But Chris Paul hit some really big shots. Like, I don't know why this one stuck out to me, but it was with around, like, 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Chris Boucher had that alley-oop dunk where he dunked all over Darius Bazley. And, like, I mean, you were there, but the crowd, even from the TV, was going crazy. And then Chris Paul just dribbles up the court, stops at the top of the three-point line, drains a three, and it seemed like that was, like, such a big shot given the moment and, like, given the crowd and everything like that. And he hit another big shot when it looked like Kyle Lowry had tied him up, and maybe a jump ball or a travel was going to be called with about a minute left. He made that step-back jumper, so some big shots from him tonight.
Yeah, that was a weird... That was a weird play. Probably, there probably should have been a whistle.
Yeah, some sort. I still don't know what should have been called, but like something should have been called.
Right, and because there was no whistle, it was not challengeable. And even if it was, Nick Nurse had already used his challenge early in the game on not a very questionable call. So
no, that was a bad challenge.
He probably should have saved it anyways. Not that he would have been able to use it in that instance if I have all my challenge rules straight, but yeah, that was weird. but hey, he hit the shot, and you know, there have been worse calls in the Seahawks game tonight.
Oh man, I'm glad you put that in.
Yeah, we won't dwell on it. I might just get
Seahawks
mad.
Lost just for everyone listening. Questionable pass interference.
It was bogus. Anyways, you're not here to hear my football takes.
Sure is entertaining, though. Okay, I want to talk about... Who do you want to talk about?
Another Canadian.
Lou Dort.
Lugens Dort. Early minutes and a whole 17 of them for Lou Dort tonight, with, you know, obviously them being short-handed at guard/wing, whatever. They have so many multiple, like, three and four guard lineups now. Who knows what we're supposed to call of them. Anyways, we've seen him step in similar situations before and play really good defense, and tonight was no different. And that was guarding guys like Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet.
I thought he was so good defensively, and like it was a great matchup because Lou Dort is built similarly to Fred VanVleet and Kyle Lowry. Now I think he's a little more like toned up. Yeah. But those are like, you know, shorter but bigger guards, and he just kept up with them so well. I mean, they each had 20, but a lot of that was when Lou Dort was not guarding them. I mean, he played 16, 17 minutes tonight, but I don't think he was on the floor when he wasn't defending either Kyle Lowry or Fred VanVleet, and he looked like he really frustrated those guys. And, you know, he was bad offensively, 1 of 6, 0 of 3 from three. But again, that's not what he's in there for now. I don't know if they want him taking any three. I mean, maybe some threes at this point. But
right, he needs to work.
Overshadows that.
He needs to work on that jump shot, or at least the 3-point shot.
It's not. I think he's like 1 of 12 or something now. From
he
three.
Looks really strong driving to the basket, and he was putting up such big numbers in the G League, and obviously the G League's different, but like that can't change your shot that much. I don't know.
It's much more suited to be driving than shooting. Like the three point misses are not especially close, but he's so strong that I think he could be a good cutter, slasher, get to the rim type guy.
Yeah. It's all about decision making.
But the defense is there.
Oh my gosh, it's so
encouraging.
Yeah, I think he made a case for himself in front of the Canadian national team coach for a potential call into camp. We'll see.
Well done, Lou Dort. From Montreal.
From Montreal, yeah. We had Montreal and Ontario both represented by the Thunder tonight.
I thought the not just Lou Dort. I mean, it's funny that we mentioned this guy. It wasn't last night. It was 2 nights ago. Nerlens Noel He was 5 of 5 tonight, 4 rebounds, 3 steals, 3 blocks. I thought the whole bench was impressive, but especially Dort and Noel. And then you also had guys like Kevin Hervey, 7 minutes, Deontay Burton, 8 minutes. And I'm really glad you wrote about this. I think it was in the journal. That Kevin Hervey to Lu Dort pass was like, what in the world? Who the heck thought we'd be talking right? about Kevin Hervey to Lu Dort?
And then they almost pulled it off the other way around, but yeah. Hervey missed the shot.
It was just so funny to me. It's like, this is an actual NBA game. It's not a G League game.
Right. It's not a summer league game. We had, at the beginning of the season, Kevin Hervey wasn't even on the team. Now they're both two-way players, and I think you have to give Billy Donovan props for being able to put guys in situations where they can succeed, even if they're unlikely guys.
Kevin Hervey, he was 0 of 3 from 3 tonight. Not to pile on all these guys bad shooting, but was not good shooting. But he looks like a very competent, like, passer and playmaker to me.
Yeah, and we know that he can score. I mean, yet again, summer league is not like regular season, but he was the Thunder's leading scorer in summer league most nights. Like, he was going off. And so I think once he gets that comfort level, we'll probably see a jump from him on the scoring end. But yeah, I mean, he has now played a total of like 8 minutes and 28 seconds or something like that. So there's not that much that we could take from this, but solid summer league player, definitely has potential, and from talking to him seems like a very humble, and granted this is also from like 2 conversations, but seems like a humble, hardworking kind of guy.
Yeah, and probably will continue to get, you know, limited, very limited minutes until Danilo Gallinari comes back.
Yeah, we'll see when that is. I mean, it wasn't supposed to be serious. It was supposed to be mostly precautionary. You'd think that after having, like, all of the Christmas break and this road trip off that he'd be fine, but who knows? They're being very cautious with this.
Yeah.
Same with Dennis. They obviously weren't cautious, but I mean, Billy Donovan said essentially that Dennis said that he wanted to play and he was cleared to play, so they're going to play him. Not tonight, obviously, but on Friday. And so he'll still have input as they're deciding when he'll come back, but they'll reevaluate him when they get back and go from there.
I was trying to, like, you know, balance it in my head. Like, is this, there's no doubt it was an impressive Thunder win. And especially considering that, you know, 2 nights ago they won in overtime on the road at Charlotte as well. But, you know, both teams were shorthanded. Like, the Raptors are a little more shorthanded given that their best player is hurt and Pascal Siakam also missing Marc Gasol and Norman Powell. But then we mentioned,
and like, you know, three others.
Three others. Right. So, but they've played without Siakam for 4 or 5 games now and saying, you know, this group won last night in Boston. And that was also part of it. They were playing on the second night of a back to back. So it was kind of definitely not the best versions of either team, but still, like I said, an impressive road win.
Yeah, I think that Boston game goes 2 ways. One, second night of a back-to-back, that's tough. 2, even without all the players that you just mentioned, even very shorthanded, this Raptor team has been really good and played really well against tough opponents and in tough atmospheres. And so it's still a really good win for the Thunder against a really good team.
And they're a great home team. And
And the Thunder has had some great success in Toronto.
five in a row.
And winning Toronto last year was so much fun. That was one of the Thunder's best wins of the season.
Yeah, I think the Thunder sent this out, longest streak in the NBA of like consecutive wins at Toronto.
I think longest current. It might not be like longest ever.
Yeah, longest current streak.
So keeping the streak alive.
Yeah, and it's easier to protect that streak when you only have to attempt it once a year on like Eastern Conference teams. So, but still.
Or is it harder because you're going between so many different eras, right? Like that's 5 years as opposed to like, hey, we have this team that can match up with you. Let's win a couple times this year.
I want you to write an analytical piece on if it's harder to have that streak as a Western Conference team or an Eastern Conference team.
All right, perfect.
Crunch the numbers.
5,000 words.
That'd be good.
Can't wait. Anything else you want to add on this game?
Not this game, but we did have some other very interesting news today. I will put it that way.
Yes, do tell us about it.
Yeah, so LiAngelo Ball, we just
the middle ball.
This came up, the middle ball, the middle ball, who is not like a top prospect ball.
But your line in the story, I laughed when I read it, but he's not Lonzo or Melo.
that's right. So Ryan Sharp, shout out Ryan Sharp, our former sports editor and current news director, I guess was at the Blue game today, and he was just like, hey, LiAngelo Ball is sitting near the Blue bench and
wearing blue gear.
wearing blue gear. So the Thunder confirmed to us that he joined the team just after the G League showcase about a week and a half ago, is a practice player. Again, like, I want to make this totally clear. He is
practice
not a member
player
of the Blue. He is in no way affiliated with the Thunder or the Blue, other than he's there as an extra body to help the practice. And I found out it's commonplace for G League teams to have practice players. Of course, any G League team could pick him up, but he's just practicing in Oklahoma City, which I found out today people are still very interested in the Ball family, even if it's not Lonzo, who was the number two pick in 2017, and LaMelo, who's the projected number one overall pick in the 2020 draft. And so many people were like, oh man, Thunder's thinking a step ahead getting LiAngelo just so they can draft LaMelo.
That's not how the draft works.
Yeah, it's like, maybe the Thunder's going to trade every asset they have for the number one pick, but short of that, they're not getting LaMelo Ball.
I was most impressed that we are just finding out about this, because most things with the Ball family are pretty public.
Yeah. I'm kind of shocked, too, that he's like been around this long. And I mean, yeah, we didn't know it beforehand, and I guess no one else knew it beforehand. But the LiAngelo Ball, I mean, he's like you said, he's not a top guy. He was a three-star prospect coming out of high school. Went to UCLA, never played at UCLA because of the shoplifting incident in China that was well publicized, and then joined the JBA, which no one knows what that, or JBL, I think, LeVar Ball, his dad's league that is now defunct. So
wasn't he in Lithuania too?
Yeah, he was. He was also in Lithuania. So I think the Lithuanian team counts as his only professional experience, so read into it what you will. I mean, this is not like it's not a game changer in any way. It's only news because of his last name.
Sorry for piling on, Jello.
Sorry, Jello.
I mean, that being said, he's a much better athlete than I am.
Yeah, I mean,
welcome to Oklahoma City.
I am not practicing with the G League team.
It would be quite a conflict of interest if you were.
Yeah.
Start getting fluff pieces about the blue.
I would what surely have more scoops if I was. I'd have all the G League scoops.
Both news wise and shot wise.
Ooh, scoop shot.
Yeah.
I can learn it from Shay.
You can be the
I know a guy.
You can be the Shay of the blue.
Oh boy. This has gone too far.
You heard it here, folks. Joe Masato is going to try out for the blue.
The Shay of the blue, that's what they call me.
SOTB for short.
That's right. Me and LeAngelo lining up next to each other, joining forces. Oh boy.
That'd be great. Fantastic. Can you get on oh gosh, what's their Facebook
ball
show
in
called?
The family.
Ball in the Family. Are you going to be a ball in the
Is that still a thing?
I don't know. That was my guilty pleasure for a little bit because Facebook kept advertising it to me, and finally I was like, oh, fine. And I was like, hey, it was interesting. Like, obviously you took it with a grain of salt because it was produced by them, right? So it's not going to be this cool, inside, untainted version of who they are, but like, it was still fascinating. There's a reason that people kept inviting LeVar into TV and we still are talking about LeAngelo Ball.
Yeah, it really is something. I mean, the brand was definitely built, but you know,
it was big and baller.
It was big and baller. On a serious note though, like, props to LeAngelo for even like doing something like this. Like, it's, I imagine it's not a glamorous life being a G League practice player in Oklahoma City. So, I mean, it's cool for him that he's still, like, trying to play.
Yeah, for sure. Be interesting to talk to him.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully we can stay tuned.
All right, that's a good place as any to finish up. Thunder's headed home soon. I realize this was only a 2-game road trip, but they are headed on another 4-game road trip soon. So get excited for the home games when you can. We have another New Year's Eve game again against the Mavs. On what day is New Year's Eve?
I believe it's Monday. I shouldn't know this off the top of my head, though.
Today is Monday.
No.
Tuesday.
Oh, shoot. Yeah,
and by Monday today...
It's Tuesday.
And by today, I mean it's midnight in Toronto.
I meant Tuesday, to be fair.
Tuesday.
7 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday in Oklahoma City.
It'll be great. Can't wait. And... Yeah, we'll get to see. We saw the Mavs in preseason, but Luka wasn't there.
Luka Mania coming to Oklahoma City. Which I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, he good.
He good.
All right, thank you everyone for tuning in to Thunder Buddies podcast. Like it, love it, share it, subscribe, share it with your friends, your enemies, your pets, your neighbors. Who else? I just I made the mistake of Googling Luka Doncic to see if there's any more news of him, and an hour ago CBS Sports reported Luka Doncic injury update. Mavericks star leaves the game versus the Lakers after landing from a scary fall. So,
no.
I don't know the update on that.
Well.
Stay tuned.
I don't know.
What
either.
If he's not coming? No one's. Let's see. Luka Doncic. This is really great podcasting. This finding out.
Especially since this news will be known whenever anyone is listening.
Right. They'll be like, these dummies.
Be like, how did they not know that?
Why is my. This is not loading for me.
All I see is that Luka and Kobe shook hands before the game. That seems to be the bigger news.
D'Angelo Russell scary injury. Oh, so maybe they collided. What is going on?
Maybe we could save this for the Thunder Mavs podcast when Luka either does or does not play.
My internet is not working very well.
It's that Canadian internet.
I can see a replay, but there's no news that I can see yet about whether or not he's going to be out. So
yeah, I just saw he left the game. So we will see. I am sure that is news that we will post on the interwebs at some point leading up to that game if he does not play.
We did not jinx him, though, because we said this stuff after he already...
Yeah, let's make that clear.
...got in a collision.
You noted that it was already Monday.
In Toronto.
In Toronto.
I guess it's still technically...
It's still Sunday here. That's why I got confused on the days.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Anyway, share all this right. with your friends, families, and whoever else.
And we will see you after the Mavs game on Tuesday.